This is KPOO, San Francisco, where we're baby! Shibba shibba. Shibba shibba.
Shibba shibba. Let me in. Shibba shibba. I want to be closer to you. Shibba shibba. Open up your soul. Shibba shibba. Let me find that part of you. The part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your mind.
Oh, why don't you let me in? Let me be the first to ever touch your mind.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. There's so much to enjoy right now. I mean, it's summer is here and 4th of July is just around the corner. You know what that means? It's the San Francisco Mime Troupe. They're in their 64th season and here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome a mime trooper. Welcome Andre Amorodico. Hello.
Hi there, Marilyn. Great to be with you.
Good for you. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a collective member with the San Francisco Mime Troupe. I'm a Bay Area actor. I've been doing it ever since I graduated from Stanford in 2016. So I guess I've been in it for a little while here now.
Oh, so you're a youngin.
Yes. But, it's a grind making a living as an artist in the Bay Area, but it's what I love most in life. So here I am, and the San Francisco Mime Troupe has been my artistic home for now 5 years.
And how did you hook up with them?
So initially, I was in a musical with their lyricist and composer, Daniel Savio, and he said, hey, man, after we had just done a show together, and he said, hey, you know, I'm part of this organization. It's a leftist, very loud-spoken political theater company, and I think that there might be a part in this summer's show for you. Would you be interested? And I said, absolutely. Uh-huh. That sounds right up my alley. I was a political science and theater double major, so this was kind of an easy choice to be part of it.
And so before you hooked up with them, were you familiar with the Mime Troupe, or was it just, oh, I found my people?
Well, I hadn't ever, truth be told, seen a Mime Troupe show. I knew that they existed. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been part of the culture here in San Francisco for so long now. As you mentioned, this is our 64th year. So, you know, I was aware of their existence. I'd read about them in, they're mentioned in Slouching Towards Bethlehem, which is a short story by Joan Didion. And mm-hmm. So I was aware of their existence and, you know, proud to be part of the same San Francisco culture as them. But, my first true exposure was walking into the room, into the audition room, and being greeted by a panel of collective members that, would soon become some of my dearest friends, and just singing my song and waiting to hear back from them. And fortunately, they wanted me on board, and here we are 5 years later. It's been a very fruitful, wonderful relationship.
So, okay, 5 years later, you guys are doing a show. You normally do it for the 4th of July weekend, but it happens over a long period of time. So tell our listeners about this year's show.
Sure. So anytime from 4th of July to Labor Day, you can come see Breakdown in San Francisco and Greater Bay Area parks. The show follows sort of three strata of society. Mostly it's talking about the mental health crisis and about those who are affected at the bottom. So mm-hmm. people that are desperate, folks that are living on the street. Mm-hmm. The central character of the show is Yume, who lives on the streets of San Francisco. And it's about her journey through modern San Francisco and the bureaucracy of trying to find help. what it's like to deal with mental illness on the streets, what it's like to be gaslit by society, by people telling you that you're the problem, when in fact this moment demands compassion from all of us. So there's that aspect, but it's a triptych. So it also follows a social worker who's more middle class, and then working class, I should say. And then the third strata is sort of the top of the pyramid, as it were. It's Marcia Stone is a Fox News anchor who is trying to do an expose on the condition of San Francisco. And we hear a lot these days about, you know, the media sort of has a fun time picking San Francisco apart and honestly vilifying those who are most vulnerable. So it follows those three characters primarily, and tells the story of each of them in, I think, a very nuanced way, and shows them all as individuals that are free thinkers and you know, not just two-dimensional.
Interesting. So what part do you play in it?
So as is typical with any mime troupe show, all the actors play multiple parts. Okay. I play Mr. Stereos, who's a Greek shop owner in the Tenderloin. He's been there a long, long time. I also play the infamous media tycoon Rupert Murdoch.
Okay.
Owner of Fox. And I also play Matt, who's a video gamer and who kind of wants to deal with the pressures of modern society, of climate change, of income inequality. He wants to put the blinders on, and he wants to just play his game. So those are the main three that I play.
Okay.
And yeah, it's very typical. You know, you'll see us changing in and out of wigs and costumes and facial hair. It's always a fun project as an actor, because you get to embody so many different people. Excellent. In one show.
Excellent. And speaking of so many different people, who else is in the show and who are they playing? Since you're saying everyone's playing multiple characters, can you even keep track of it?
Yes. So I'm joined in the cast by Jamela Cross, plays Marcia Stone, the anchor. She's amazing. She's got a killer voice. All these people are incredibly talented actors. Yume is played by the amazing Kina Cantor. It's her, both Jamela and Kina, this is their first mime troupe show, and they're killing it. Felix, a character that I haven't brought up yet, but who's one of Yume's dear friends and who's trying to get off the street with a million get rich quick schemes, is played by Jed Presario.
Okay.
And it's also his first year, but he's done Red Carol, which is our adaptation of A Christmas Carol, so stay tuned for that in December.
Okay.
And then finally there's and then there's Alicia MP Nelson, of course, my dear friend, this is our second show together. We were in it last summer as well. And she plays the social worker Sadia.
Very nice. How many characters would you say are in the whole play?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I don't have an exact count, but I'm going to estimate upwards of 15 among the five actors. We all play at least three roles, and if you count the sort of, you know, small cameo appearances of somebody just coming on as a businesswoman or a businessman really quickly to do a micro scene, I mean, you know, you're talking about at least 20 people that five people are pretending to be.
Okay. So you mentioned that it's happening, and like, I know it's happening on 4th of July, but when does the show actually start and where can we see it?
Yes. So we open, our official opening is on 4th of July in Dolores Park, but it runs throughout the summer all the way through Labor Day. And we play all over the Bay Area. So you can catch us at Lake Merritt. You could catch us in, there's a bunch of San Francisco locations. There's Yerba Buena Center for the Arts. There's there's Golden Gate Park, there's Dolores again at closing. We go as far afield as Santa Cruz, Davis, Ukiah, Cedar Rose Park in Berkeley, St. James Park in San Jose, Balboa Park in San Francisco, Todd Grove Park in Ukiah, and we play on our own back lawn in the Mime Troupe headquarters here in the Mission. So there's really a lot of places that you can catch us. And if you want to get a full summer schedule, of course, you can go to sfmt.org. And it's got every single show there, and which, by the way, all free in the park.
Yay!
Usually 1:30 music, 2 p.m. show. Our great band plays for half an hour before the show. It's a great place to spend a summer day.
Excellent. And it has been my experience that it's usually sunny when you guys are playing out. And since that's such a rare thing to happen in San Francisco during the summer,
it's
like you guys bring the sun with you. So again, for our listening audience, what time should for the Dolores Park one on July 4th, what time should they start arriving?
Yes, catch us in Dolores Park at 1:30 for music is when the music starts. Show up maybe, a little earlier than that if you want to set your blanket out in a place where you can have a good view. But 1:30 is music, 2 o'clock is show, and it's a blast.
Excellent. And then I know that the kids go and see the show, and then after viewing it, they aspire to be you guys. So for those for those aspiring mime troopers, how would they go about, finding out how to become a mime or how to become a part of the mime troupe?
Sure. Well, okay. Let's see. Step one, I think, it's always good to watch, because we have a very specific style. Our style is, sort of unlike other theater that you'll see in the Bay Area. It's based in melodrama and commedia. Mm-hmm. So anything that if you want to be a trooper, I'd suggest watching a lot of melodrama, watching a lot of commedia, learning about the commedia characters. And I'd also say that it's important to keep your ears open to what's going on in the world. We're a very we obviously take issues that are topical, issues that are pressing in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so, a lot of what we do is really just reading the news, learning about world events, learning about injustice, and having that spark to want to do something about it and to do it through art. So that's my advice to any young aspiring mime troopers.
Excellent advice indeed. So if people want to find out more about you personally, Andre, how would they go about doing that?
Oh, well, you could go to my website, which is andreamarotico.com. That's my last name, A-M-A-R-O-T-I-C-O. That has a lot about me, about my career, what I'm up to. It always has a link to the Mime Troupe, because that's, my bread and butter during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to really know what I'm about, I'd say come out to the show this summer, because you'll see me in action and you'll see me doing what I love best.
Excellent. Well, Andre Amoratico, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today and talking about the San Francisco Mime Troupe, and I look forward to seeing you guys on the 4th of July.
Thank you so much for having me, Marilyn. Power to the people.
Woo! And with that, people of Earth, this is your opportunity to go check out the Mime Troupe. They're going to be at Dolores Park. That's where they usually do their thing for the 4th of July weekend. And just go have a good time. Have a good time. Here's a little snippet of what they do.
My father was a union man. Built pipelines across this land, marched for his rights, and he got canned. Union didn't do him squat. That black power crap went to his head. Should have stuck to his work instead. If he had, he would have made more bread, cause you get what you earn from the melting pot. So I'm headed where the wind is blowing. Any fool can see which way this country's going. You gotta go right if you want. trying to get rich when you look like me in the land of the free. Now my star's on the rise. I'm taking the crown. That San Francisco hellhole is what I've been waiting for. Because I'm black on the right, and there are reds all over that town.
Was Sugarman 3 and Turtle Walk. That, my friends, was from Soul Donkey. And now from the ridiculous to the sublime. You know, the Marola Opera has been around for ages, and they've been doing so many amazing shows. They've got one coming up called Metamorphosis recovery, renewal, and rebirth. Here to talk about it is a world-renowned tenor. I'd like to welcome Nicholas Pond. Hello.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
So I want to first talk about how did you find your way to opera?
I started actually as an instrumentalist.
Okay.
My parents gave me a violin for my fourth birthday.
Okay.
And I fell in love with music, and I realized pretty quickly that I was a better singer than violinist. So
okay.
Sometimes I joke that the only reason I'm a singer is because it's the only way I could be a professional musician.
Aw. Well, let me ask you this. When your parents gave you that violin, was it because you showed an interest in it, or they were just like, he's going into music, it'll be the violin?
Actually, no. I think they gave it to me because they thought it would make my Harvard application look better.
Okay. Did you end up going to Harvard?
No, I didn't, actually. I went to the University of Michigan.
Okay.
But yeah, along the way, I fell about 8 or 9 years into my studies when I kind of started playing in orchestras and making mm-hmm. music with other people.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew that I needed to be a musician. It was this thing that snapped inside of me, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to do this. So I don't think they actually expected me to become a musician, but it's all worked out really well.
Okay. So do you remember the very first opera that you did where you felt like, I'm a real opera singer?
Yeah, it was in college at the University of Michigan. We did a production of Carlisle Floyd's Susanna, which
uh-huh.
is one of the great American operas.
Okay.
And I was cast in it my junior year, which was kind of a surprise because normally, that's the first year at the University of Michigan you can audition for operas.
Uh-huh.
And I was cast as one of the leading roles, and that was my first staged full opera experience. And I was, hooked after that. It was really exciting.
Wow. And you've been doing it ever since.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So now let's fast forward and let's talk about this opera that you're appearing in.
Well, I'm actually not appearing in this one.
Oh.
I will be the MC for the evening.
Well, that's
Merla
appearing.
Opera program.
That's
yeah. Merla Opera Program is this wonderful opera program that brings opera singers, young opera singers who mm-hmm. are not much older than the age I was when I did that opera
mm-hmm.
At the University of Michigan, that brings them from all over the world. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people apply for this program, and they only take, a handful of them and bring
mm-hmm.
them to San Francisco each summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an incredible opportunity where these young singers really get to kind of bridge the gap between school and professional opera singing. And, some of the world's greatest opera stars are alums of this program, people like Susan Graham and Thomas Hampson, Debbie Voigt, and the list goes on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And so this summer is your chance to see stars in the making, basically. And this recital that's coming up on Thursday is a feature for 7 of these young singers and 5 of the pianists who are participating in this summer's program. They've come from all over the world. We've got an international cast of people, and they're going to perform basically a classical music cabaret for you. And it's an extraordinary program about, change and how we as people are constantly changing and mm-hmm. what that means and how we grapple with it.
And how did you pick the theme of metamorphosis, recovery, renewal, and rebirth?
When Carrie Ann, the artistic director of the San Francisco Opera Center, and I were chatting about what to do with this program, we kind of acknowledged that we're only just now sort of coming out of this giant tumultuous event that
mm-hmm.
has really, transformed us and
mm-hmm.
transformed the world,
mm-hmm.
that was COVID and the pandemic and kind of the lockdown and sort of reopening of the world. And so it felt like it was top of mind,
mm-hmm.
that subject.
Yes.
And there are a lot of songs about these moments in our lives where we're one thing one moment, and then in another moment we're something else. And what is that change like? We also thought, inherent in change is sort of the hope for something better on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, we feel like we live in a time in which we could use a bit of hope. So we wanted to kind of weave that into this program.
Now, do the singers choose their own songs, or is it something that the artistic director sort of directs?
So I'm the guest curator for this alongside Carrie Ann, the artistic director. So we have jointly put together this program for them and assigned the songs to the singers. And, you know, we've kind of done our best to sort of tailor each piece to each singer and pianist that gets it. And, you know, we're doing it because we see things in these singers that we think would lend themselves well to these songs. Or, you know, maybe we're trying to kind of push someone in a direction to kind of challenge them a little bit to help mm-hmm. them get from one level to the next.
So what are some of the songs we might be hearing?
The program is really exciting. You're going to hear songs that are by composers we all know and love, like Aaron Copland and Samuel Barber and Gabriel Fauré.
Okay.
Gustav Mahler is on there. You know, there's even a Sondheim song on there. So there's a lot of familiar names and a lot of familiar pieces. The first half of the performance ends with Mahler's Urlicht, which is the song that also is included in his Symphony No. 2.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are also a bunch of songs by people that maybe are less familiar names, but these are really amazing gems that just really need to be heard. You know, songs by Amy Beach, Florence Price, Alma Mahler, Gustav's wife. She's actually better represented on this program than he is. She was an amazing song composer, and you know, she stopped writing songs when they got married because he insisted that there could only be one composer in the household.
Mm.
So we're kind of bringing some of those back to life, too, alongside, you know, some songs by Hugo Wolf. And there's one song on here by a wonderful composer named Erolyn Wallen, who was born in Belize, but lives in Scotland now and is a British citizen.
And this is just one night only?
It's just one night only on Thursday, June 29th at 7:30 p.m. at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music in the Concert Hall.
And what's the address of the San Francisco Conservatory of Music?
50 Oak Street.
Okay. So if people wanted to get tickets or find out more about the show, how would they go about doing that?
They should go to Merola's website, which is merola.org, merola.org.
Okay. And once again, for our listening audience, when and what time for the show?
The show is Thursday, June 29th at 7:30 p.m.
All right.
At the San Francisco Conservatory of Music.
Okay. Well, Nicholas Pan, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. And, you know, I hope we see all of you on Thursday. This is going to be a really great concert.
Excellent. People of Earth, this is your opportunity. The Merola Opera Program is doing Metamorphosis, Recovery, Renewal, and Rebirth. That is 7:30 Thursday, June 29th. And I think you'll enjoy it. It's at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music at 50 Oak Street in San Francisco. So there you have it. There you have it.
The whistle blows as he makes his rounds. He's seen every town west of Mississippi. Just a face painted all in smiles, jumping up and down and making people happy. Though deep inside a shadow grows, he could laugh and no one knows there's a lonely man inside. Circus, all of the ups and downs of a carousel that I know so well. Life is a three-ring circus, just one little ride on a merry-go-round, going round. The dance like the minstrel's dance. just to please the kids and keep the people laughing. But no one knows that beneath the clothes and disturbed up nose lurks a lonely beggar. Just too blind to see that the clown is really me. Life is a gleaming circus, all of the ups and downs of a carousel that I know so well. Life is a gleaming circus, just one day to ride on a merry-go-round. Go round and round and round and round and round. Going round and round and round and round and round. Going round and round and round and round and round.
That's Blue Magic and Three Ring Circus. From Soul Hits of the 70s, didn't it blow your mind? You know, circuses don't have to be sad. In fact, circuses are pretty happy. And I've got someone who's gonna be doing something happy for the summer with circuses. It's the 14th annual summer season of Circus Bella. Here to talk about it, Abigail Munn. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm just great.
Now, our listening audience is probably, you've been on the show before, but give them your CV.
My name is Abigail, and I am the director and host of Circus Bella, and we are a free outdoor one-ring circus that travels to parks and open spaces around the Bay Area. And this summer, our show is called Bananas.
Bananas, Bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A-S. So
exactly right.
Is it from that? No.
That's, I think I just learned that is from a Gwen Stefani song. And we actually make a reference to that song in the show.
Okay. So why did you choose Bananas?
You know, we're always joking backstage and... somebody, I don't know who it was, somebody said, what if next year's show was called Bananas? And then we just were riffing off of that. And that was a year ago. And then we've just been playing with the idea ever since. And part of it for me is also why it worked so well, at least for me, is I feel like the world is going a little bit bananas. But maybe let's turn that around, that bananas, and kind of celebrate the insanity rather than... wring our hands.
Now, for people who don't know what a one-ring circus is, explain it.
Okay, so we perform in an actual ring. So our shows are in the round, which for me creates this community experience. The word circus actually has the word circle in it. So circuses, I feel, is really wonderful when they are performed in the round, and that's kind of part of the culture of that art form, or part of the heritage of that art form. And we do our show, the theme is bananas, and there's kind of a silly plot line, even is, I think, a little pushes it. But there's a kind of a theme of bananas, and the bananas slowly overtaking the show. But meanwhile, we also have circus acts. So we have hula hoopers, and we have jugglers and contortionists and acrobats, aerialists and acrobats that go in between the clown acts. And the other really special thing about our company is that we have a 6-piece live band.
Ooh.
With all original music at all our shows.
Now, here's a question for all those parents who are going to be bringing children who will fixate on something. Will we be hearing Banana Phone?
You know, you won't be hearing banana phones.
Okay.
But just to, you know.
That's a really thank you to all the parents out there.
But we have revived a song that's an act. Everyone keeps thinking it's our original song, but it's actually a song from the 1920s called Yes, We Have No Banana.
I love that song. Yeah, I learned that when I was a kid. Oh, yay.
Exactly. So, and the clowns came up with some really wacky lyrics. That and yeah, for that song. So there is a banana song, but it's not the banana phone song.
Yes, but that's if you're going to get an earworm, that's the preferable one, because
the preferable one,
because exactly. it will leave your brain at some point. So when
maybe
when and where for Circus Bella? When is it starting? How's it going?
So we're already halfway through our season, but we're actually, our next stop is Reno, so that's a little bit far. You can come with us to Reno. But then after that, we'll be back in the Bay Area 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. And we have two shows in Oakland, or 2 days in Oakland and 2 days in San Francisco.
Okay, so where are you going to be those days?
So on Thursday, the 13th, we'll be at Lincoln Square Park at 6 p.m. Okay. in Oakland, and you should come early to that show because the Prescott Circus Theater will be opening for us that day.
Okay.
And then Friday we'll be at Elmhurst Park in Oakland, which is a new location for us, which we're really excited about.
Friday, July 17th, uh-huh.
Friday, July 14th.
14th, okay.
I had to write it down before I got on the radio because I'm terrible with dates. Okay. And then Saturday, July 15th, will be at Proxy Hayes Valley. So that's on Hayes and Octavia, the open space right there.
Oh, yeah. Showtime. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Showtimes will be at 1 and 3.
Okay.
And then we will be at Salesforce Park on July 16th and shows at 12 and 2.
And if people want to find out more about Circus Bella and also just have a place to see where all your shows are, where can they go?
They can go to www.circusbella.org.
Excellent. Excellent.
It's all there. And with maps.
And for the children who aspire to join your circus, what do you tell them?
Come, just the best thing you can do with your life is to join the circus. Keep practicing.
All right. Well, Abigail Munn, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me year after year. It's a pleasure.
Well, it's a pleasure for me. And people of Earth, it's always a pleasure to talk about the circus. You know your kids are going to want to join the circus afterwards. So just accept it and, you know, maybe get a clown wig for them or something like that. But go check it out and you'll have a lovely, lovely time. That's awesome. That's Sugarman 3 and Daisy Rides Again from Soul Donkey. Hey, I want to give you a heads up that the Fillmore Jazz Festival is returning to San Francisco's Fillmore Street after a three-year hiatus this Saturday, July 1st, and Sunday, July 2nd, from 11 to 6 on Fillmore Street between Geary and Jackson. The free two-day festival will feature performances on four stages with Bay Area favorites Kim Nally, Fillmore Slim, Jazz Mafia, Tammy Hall. There's so many people. The festival is sponsored by the Fillmore Merchants Association and will have local food, arts, and crafts. And KPL will be there, so go check it out. Also, you know what? It is the last Monday of the month, which means that next month, something new and exciting and different is going to be happening at the library. And here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome one of my librarianistas, Gregory Hom. Hello.
Hi there. Thanks for having me today.
Thanks for being on. So, Gregory, what library do you work at and what do you do there?
So I work at the main library. I'm on the fifth floor, and I'm at the Environmental Center.
Okay.
So we are dedicated to doing programming around human relationship to stewardship of the environment, stuff on climate change, local environments. But there's a big change in my job and with the department, which is that, as a whole, the library cares about this issue, but it's kind of a specific focus of mine right now to focus on building a book collection and community relationships with our local American Indian community.
Interesting. What moved you toward that focus?
My focus about being the Environmental Center librarian, just on the kind of legacy work of looking at climate change, mm-hmm. and looking at the natural environment, is something I've been doing for a very long time. Just the interest in camping and being in the outdoors and really enjoying spaces like that. And as someone who has been active on our racial equity committee at the library, I saw the challenge of kind of building a relationship with our Native American community to be a worthwhile one, something that, the library has not followed through on fully the way it can. Mm-hmm. And I'm slowly figuring that out with community partners and with the people inside the library, with our racial equity coordinator at the main library also.
So have you made any headway in assembling a list, a starting list of authors and titles?
I definitely have a lot of, something that we just got in our collection right now that I'm pretty excited about is The Red Deal.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of a title like The Green New Deal, maybe people have heard that term, there's a group in the Southwest called The Red Nation, and they put out something that's called The Red Deal. And so it's, as they say, it's Indigenous Action to Save the Earth. So kind of looking at ways of thinking about broad ways of big and exciting ways of thinking about combating climate change, but also putting kind of the experience and the knowledge of Indigenous people kind of at the center of that.
Okay. So July is fast on our heels. What's happening in and around the library and also in your part of the library?
My part of the library, I'm happy to say that we're doing an in-person program. It's a book club. I've just spent 5 years in the magazines and newspapers department, so I didn't really deal with books as much as I have in the past at the library, but uh-huh. we're doing a book club. We're going to read the book The Hungry Tide by Amitav Ghosh, and this is set in a part of the world called the Sundarbans, which is like Bangladesh and India.
Mm-hmm.
And it's these, how would you say it? They're like this, it's like a huge amount of water in these areas. Tons and tons of small little islands. Some are inhabited, some aren't. And Amitav Ghosh's title has become notable for its environmental and political themes. Mm-hmm. It's an older title from 2005, but it's kind of his first attempt to write like a climate fiction serious novel. So looking at the role of the environment and how we tell our stories and think about the world. And I think that's going to be July 29th. That's a Saturday from 1 to 2:30. It's going to be in person. I'll have snacks. Things if people want to drop by for that, I'm pretty happy about that. And then, you know, just like it's July and like our summer stride programming continues. If people haven't checked out the summer stride programming around K-Fi Steele, a very, very cool children's book artist, it's worth checking out your local branch to see.
What is
the books that are getting promoted for her? Sorry, yes, please. Of course not.
For a listening audience, what is Summer Stride for people who may not be familiar with that program?
Of course, I'm so sorry. Summer Stride is our program to just like promote reading during the summertime. Mm-hmm. There's the last number of years, there's been a nice, really beautiful tote bag that's your prize for reading. So many hours. I can't remember the specific number at the moment. It's not impossible to do. We have tons of people running around the city with our tote bags, and mm-hmm. you can have one too if you sign up and, you know, spend some time reading during the summertime.
And are there specific books that you need to read, or is it a self-directed reading?
It is very self-directed.
Oh, very yeah. nice.
I mean, like for young people, SFPL works with SFUSD to make book lists of mm-hmm. recommended reading. So mm-hmm. if you're a parent and you're kind of faltering in how you with the kind of books that you want to suggest to your child, you know, like the library always has great ideas. And these summer book lists are also done in collaboration with the school district. So you can know that these are really well-considered titles that we and they know are going to be, you know, like exciting for your kids.
And are there any lists that are generated by kids themselves?
That is a good question. I would have to check with my youth services librarians. I know that on our BiblioCommons platform, which is what our catalog is on now, anyone can make a book list. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if we have any official book lists out there made by children. That's a great question. I would have to get back to you, Marilyn. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. No, because I know that kids, they are inclined to listen to other children talk about books. And so I was
They
just...
definitely are, because my son listens to his peers about what he wants to read and not to me as much as I want to. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, well, let me ask you this. And what does your child think about having a dad who works at the library? Is it like super cool, or is it just like, oh, well, if dad's doing it, it can't be that great?
Oh, I mean, I think he thinks good things about it. I mean, okay. He has said in the past, in happier moments, that he would love to work at the library with me.
Okay.
And it's certainly, when he wants a book and he knows the title that he wants, you know, it's very easy for me to pick it up for him.
Okay.
So. They always he and my daughter both love that aspect of it. When they were very small, they came to my story times back when I did children's story times. So that was always very cute to have them show up for those.
Okay, well, so what else is going on in the library that you want to make sure that we know about?
What do I want to make sure you know about? I just think that we're doing great things all the time. I mean, we have this partnership. I don't know if there's signups for these things anymore, but I would just like to say that, you know, the library, you know, has this ongoing partnership with the National Park Service. We've mm-hmm. been able to take buses of people to various places of nature around the city. I participated in one that went up to the tunnel tops.
Ooh.
And we got a busload of folks in this case, mostly from the Tenderloin
mm-hmm.
out there. So the idea is to get folks that haven't like normally experienced kind of even like the green spaces that are available to them in San Francisco and take them out there and let them know about them. So
wow. What's that program called?
It's It's just part of our Summer Stride programming that we do with the National Park Service. I don't know if there's a specific name for the program.
Okay.
And then let me just go into sfpl.org/calendar, which is always a good place to kind of look for things. See if I can think of something else that jumps out at me.
You're listening to...
My department's kind of like all the time, but...
You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. We're speaking with Gregory Hom, who is at the San Francisco Public Library in the Department of the Environment. And we've also mentioned talking about programs on California Indians. And while you're looking up that, what sort of programs, besides the books, what other things are you trying to incorporate in the in your new responsibilities about California Native Americans?
I mean, really, it is kind of an ongoing thing. So, I mean, you know, we have a land acknowledgement that was developed with us from the American Indian Cultural District. So the American Indian Cultural District is a physical place that's in the Mission District of San Francisco. But that cultural district is also administered by a group that has the same name, American Indian Cultural
District.
So the library worked with them to make our land acknowledgement. And we want to work with them and other local groups to kind of develop programming. So I am still very much in the planning stages and getting to know folks. Something that is that had the library has hosted in the past, which is coming up in October, would be the American Indian Film Festival. So that's like that. We have a longstanding kind of relationship with the group that puts on that film festival. So that will be happening this fall, this winter. So that's something to remember and think about for the. But that's many months away. That's not in July this year.
Got it.
I mean, something else that's happening later this year in my department would be, you know, the 50th anniversary of the Golden Gate National Recreation Area is. Well, it just passed, but we're having two different rangers come and speak about kind of the history of the Golden Gate National Recreation Area and where it's going in the future with what they want to focus on and things to teach people about going on in the community about the beautiful space out there.
And when is that happening?
Oh, that's not until... That's not until September.
Okay.
Just, you know, if you can always check out my homepage. It's actually, this is kind of, it's a short URL, so it's easier than remembering a long one from sfpl.org, but it's on.sfpl.org and then / capital E N V, so short for environment, capital E and then N V and then capital C T R. And that's the page for the environmental center that I like to hand out to people.
Excellent. Well, we just have one more minute left. So is there anything else you want to let our listeners know about or encourage our listeners to do?
Check out if you go to sfpl.org/calendar and under topic, you search for Summer Stride, you'll see things around gardening. You'll see things for the kind of tons of like art projects going on for our kids this summer. We have a plant swap coming up. We've got insect discovery labs. There's Chinese classes at some of the branches. Like there's just so many things going on. It's hard to just like choose one fun thing to say, but sfpl.org/calendar is the place to go to find out what's going on in the city.
Okay.
At all 28 of our locations.
People of Earth, you heard it here first, sfpl.org/calendar. Also, if you go to their homepage, the first thing you see is Summer Stride, so you can check both of those out. Gregory Hom, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Marilyn. So nice to be here.
All right. People of Earth, the library is your friend, especially during the summer. You've got those kids. They're going to be looking for stuff to do. There's tons to do at the library. They can get books. They can take parts and programs, all kinds of stuff. So just allow them to go and enjoy it. So it's about time for me to turn the mic over to Mr. Ford, who'll be pleasuring your ear hole. So until next week, my friends, ta-ta and toodly-doo. Thank you.